Christ, Concordia for a Memorial Weekend. You are in splendid voice this morning. It is good to hear your voices raised in praise as John accompanies us in such a hymn concerning Easter. The text for this morning, primarily from Acts chapter 16, and let these words capture you a little bit, I hope as they captured me. Come over to Macedonia and help us, Paul hears, in this vision. As I come before you this morning, I have a little bit of a fear. I have a fear that the church may not ever be able to sing, at least in St. Louis, Angels We Have Heard on High, the same ever again. Why? Gloria. I'm afraid that when we hit Gloria in Excelsis Deo, you're going to break into that other Gloria that's, it does lead me into a little word of preparation. And as you take a look at not only Acts this morning, but in the Gospel of John, as Jacob brought us up, our kids a word about that and us a word about that as well, I want you to see in John preparation and the connection that I make with Lord Stanley's cup and this preparation is I can only imagine what kind of preparation has to go into getting ready for a contest such as these blues players are about to engage in, given all the media coverage, given all the history, 49 years, and all that stuff that's packed into it. But I'm going to put before you this, and that preparation actually pales in comparison to the kind of preparation that you see going on in John chapter 16. This is intense preparation of our Savior, prepping his disciples for what is yet to come. He is prepping them for life after Easter. He has not even died yet. He has not risen from the dead yet. And before you know it, when we get into this Macedonia text, we're going to be launched into life after Easter. But before you can have life after Easter, you've got to have the kind of preparation that John is bringing to us from the words of Jesus to his disciples. And it's all throughout this 14, 15, 16, 17 chapter of John. And the preparation can be pretty much summarized in one word, one phrase, one person: the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Get ready, because I'm not always going to be with you. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to speak on my behalf. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak what comes from the Father. He's not going to speak his own words, but what he speaks is from me to you. And the mission is going to go forward, and Jesus is going to give marching orders. So this is an intense time of preparation for a battle that is not going to stop being waged on the cross, even though that's where it's won. Victory is won on the cross already for us. But then, as Jesus spends days with his disciples, and before he ascends into heaven, he's going to again give them marching orders. Go and baptize. Go and make disciples. Be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the world. Which brings us to the pivot point that you just sang about. We have this pivot point coming up on Thursday. It's called the Ascension. And we're going to spend a little bit more time on that, but what a great introduction you have to that ascension in the hymn verse that you just sang. Go to verse 9 of what you just sang. And this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples as he, you know, as a summary of what he says to his disciples. I'm going to depart to my Father, from earth to heaven ascending, heavenly wisdom to impart, the Holy Spirit sending. And the Holy Spirit is going to work among you. And the pivot point is this, that if I don't go to heaven, this mission can't happen. If I don't go to heaven, I'm a one-man band in a sense. You have to come to me in order to see me. You have to come to me to be with me. I have to go to you personally. But as I ascend into heaven, and when I, in a few days, give the Holy Spirit, and these are things we can look in the rearview mirror and see, right? Very clearly. Jesus goes to heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit, who will then be able to be with every one of his disciples, not only those who preach in Jerusalem on that day, not only those on that Pentecost day, but with you and me as well, gathered here at 505 South Kirkwood, and when you depart to your homes. Jesus is with us in his Holy Spirit. And that's what he has prepared his disciples for in John 16 and the surrounding chapters. And now I want to fast forward you as you think about that pivotal point. And I want to, before I get off that pivotal point, I want you to think about the anniversary that I mentioned at the beginning of the service. That at a point in history, 75 years ago, June 6th, D-Day, history pivoted. It's a day without which. It's a day without which we do not have eventually the march to Berlin, the defeat of Nazi Germany. This Ascension Day is a day without which. It's a day without which Jesus ascending into heaven. We don't get the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can't sing these reassuring words that the Spirit is with you to trouble you when you need, or to comfort you when you need troubling, to teach you to be true, to guide you into truth, to guide the disciples in those early missionary days. And now I fast forward to St. Paul. And we leap over a whole bunch of events that are going to happen in Scripture. But I want to leap to this point in the text before today in Acts chapter 16. Because it's part of the whole story of what God is doing. It's part of the whole victory that Christ has already won, but how the battle is going to continue to be fought from place to place and by people whom God indwells with his Holy Spirit. Join me in Macedonia. Join me in Acts chapter 16. Because this is a story of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has already converted St. Paul. Paul's already been out doing some mission stuff. But this is just one episode in that whole story. And it's an episode in which Paul goes to a city, Macedonia. He's called there by the Spirit. It wasn't his original intent to go there. But that's where he gets called to. And he listens to the Holy Spirit. Because he's a man who's been looking for where it is that God wants him to go. He's been looking to take the gospel to places. And here in this place, he gets a chance to love. But it wasn't the place that he had necessarily chosen. But he does listen to the Holy Spirit. And when he goes to this place, he finds a city named Philippi. And in it, there aren't enough Jews to have a synagogue. You have to have a minimum number. I think the number was 10 we landed on. 10 men, 10 households to form a synagogue. But in these places, there would be people whom the Holy Spirit had already been preparing. Maybe they had been there on Pentecost. Maybe they were part of the 3,000 baptized. Maybe they're just folks that, because of the dispersion of the Jews, have been studying the scriptures over years. And this is the kind of woman that Paul encounters along a riverbank. Why a riverbank? Because that tended to be the practice. But that's where believers would gather when they didn't have a place to gather. And Paul knew that. And he found them there. And when he shared the gospel with this woman named Lydia, a wealthy woman, dealing in expensive purple cloth, the cloth of royalty. She was a God worshiper already. And then as she listened, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. And what was Paul saying? Paul was saying the gospel. Paul was speaking what Jesus had spoken to him about being the resurrected Christ, about being the Messiah, being the promised one, bringing to her the whole story of what God had been doing for his people and what God was especially doing for her now, making her his child, again, her and her whole household, children of God, through holy baptism. I'm going to put before you three lessons from Macedonia this morning. As you seek to be that child of God who is faithful to what God has called you to, from Macedonia, three lessons: to look, to listen, to love. All right? And the reason I say one lesson is from Macedonia is to look is because that's what Paul was doing. He had mission eyes. I would invite you to that. To look around you and see how has God prepared your life? Where has he put you? Who are the people in your life that might be most likely to need a word from you, a gospel word from you? Jacob, you talked last week about we spend too much time looking upward. And during that sermon, I was reminded of the words of a wise woman I know she's wise because she's older than me, okay? She's had more life experience. She said, yeah. She was a student I had at Concordia, Wisconsin when I taught at their Beloit campus. She said, yeah, Pastor. He said, my pastor likes to say, we got too many people in the church are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And I've chewed on that for a while. So heavenly minded. And my interpretation of that is we're so heavenly minded, possibly, and that could be our sin, that we forget to look about and see where God has placed us. And we forget to do that other lesson. We forget to listen. To listen to what it is that God has in store for us. Listen to what God would have us do. The Holy Spirit works in you. This morning we celebrate that the Holy Spirit works in us through baptism. We will celebrate the presence of God, the Holy Spirit working in us through this sacrament of Holy Communion. But as the Holy Spirit indwells you, he also works in you the things that he would have us do. And it's important for us to listen, to let ourselves be attuned to that Spirit. And the only way you can do that is by more familiarity with the very Word of God by which he so assuredly speaks to us. Now, he might come to you in a dream like St. Paul. Might. But we know that he comes to us through this Word that he has given to us through these writers of the Holy Scriptures. And he does work in others as well. It's important for us to listen. We had a neat group of folks up in Northern Illinois District. I was part of what they call their Town and Mission, or Town and Country Mission Committee, Mission Team. And part of our task was to look for sites to plant new churches, especially outside the Chicago area, town and country, kind of a thing. And not too far from where, from Rockford, is the town of Belvedere. There's a large Lutheran church there. They were part of the group that helped me help start the church that we started in Rockford. And a bunch of us, a couple pastors, a couple lay folks, we went out looking. Look, right? Gotta look. Where does God want us to be planting the next church in Northern Illinois? And we looked at a town named Poplar Grove, about 9 miles north of Belvedere. And we got kind of excited in our windshield tours. We were looking around at various locations, potential cornfields owned by Lutherans that might be, you know, donated for land or traded. And we're getting all excited about the potential of this particular place, looking about. And then we got back, and during one of our pastor's meetings, one of our wise retired pastors, I know he was wise because he was older than me, okay, said, you know, I'm as excited about mission as the next guy. You know what the next word's going to be, right? But, has anybody listened? We're like, listen. Have we heard anybody like Paul heard calling us to Macedonia? Have we heard anybody from that Poplar Grove area saying, hey, we need a church here? Those were words that we needed to hear. We needed to listen as the Holy Spirit was working in all of us. As this wise veteran pastor was offering some wisdom that said, you know, the mistake we oftentimes make in life is we think that the Holy Spirit's working through me, speaking through me, and not through you. As we talk to one another about the plans that God has for us. And so we listened to Gene. And the good news is there is a church in that area today. But it took about 10 to 15 years longer than we probably thought at that time that we were out making that tour. Look and listen. And I would be remiss if I didn't say love. Love the gospel. Love this news that is brought to us. Love the story of the God who looked at our sin and did not turn his back on us, but instead let his son's back be laid on a cross and nailed there for the sins of all people for all time. As those men died on the beaches of Normandy, they died for some men and some women at that particular time. Tremendous sacrifice, and we remember them with thanksgiving and prayer. But let that this Memorial Day be a pointer for you to the even greater sacrifice that God has made for you. And let the Holy Spirit guide you in loving that gospel message as Jesus is raised up from the dead again. And before he goes, before that pivotal moment that he ascends to heaven, he gives to the disciples that great commission to go and make disciples. He's put it in our hands. Why? Because he is in you. That Holy Spirit dwelling to reach out and love one another and let it take time. I was so moved early this last week when I read on that thing we call Facebook, right? I know, social media, right? And I got to witness a man rededicate himself and his testimony of faith. A man that I thought would never, ever do something like that. A man who, when we were 15 and 16 and 17 years old, we were in band together. I played trombone, he played trumpet, we were in jazz band together. We went to state contests together. We did a trombone trumpet duet, and I don't know why John ever put up with it, but we finally got a one rating our senior year of doing it. He could have done it all by himself. He was that talented. Such a talented trumpet player and musician that eventually he went on to accompany Chuck Mangione on a European tour. He played studio music for Carly Simon, for Paul McCartney, and Wings. And his testimony said, at 20 years old, I found myself a wealthy man with too much wealth for any 20-year-old to handle. John's life and my life pretty much diverged. I saw him once or twice, but it was still at a very divergent part of our lives together. 45 years old, he said in his testimony, he suffered a major stroke. He lost the ability to speak. He had pretty much given up his music after age 20. He went on a 10-year vacation, basically. But the Holy Spirit was working worked in John to such a point that I watched as he stood before a congregation in a testimony and rededication to the Lord who had dedicated himself to John so many, many years ago. Look for the opportunities, listen and love, and let it take the time that the Holy Spirit would have it take. As we remember today, those who so devotedly prepared and gave their lives for us. As we remember, you know, guys are getting ready to play a hockey match. Pales in comparison, right? So far. I want you to let those kinds of preparations be a motivation to you to allow God to prepare your hearts. And not just prepare your hearts, but to put your hearts in action in looking for opportunities, listening for how God will guide you, and above all, loving one another in the way that Christ has loved you. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.